brought to you by Penguin.
Absolutely and Forever by Rose Tremaine. Read by Jane McDowell. For Ginny and Elsa, dearest friends. Adoring love, the love of abdication, is devastating. It takes up all thoughts, all instants. It is obsessive, tyrannical. Simone de Beauvoir, The Second Sex. Part 1. When I was 15, I told my mother that I was in love with a boy called Simon Hurst, and she said to me, "Nobody falls in love at your age, Marianne. What they get are crushes on people. You've just manufactured a little crush on Simon." My mother's name was Lavender. Daddy called her Lal, and I called her Mummy. I didn't like a lot of the things Mummy said. For instance, I didn't like her use of the word manufactured in this context. If you manufactured something, a clear thinking part of your mind has to envisage how it would look and sound and feel once you'd made it. But I had never envisaged the things I felt when I met Simon. I'd never thought for a moment that almost everything that had preoccupied me until then would be relegated to some fog-bound corner of my brain, and that all the rest of it would fill up my obsession with this one person. I'd never imagined that love could make me so totally stupid. This was the 1950s. I was at a girls' boarding school called Crowbourne House in Hertfordshire, in what we used to call England, but which now seems to be referred to by most people as the UK. In term time, at Crowbourne House, we never saw any boys from one week to the next. But in the holidays, at home with Mummy and Daddy in Berkshire, I sometimes got invited to parties where we danced with boys to Tommy Steele records and drank cider cup. These parties were referred to as hops by our parents. And this was how I met Simon Hurst. At a hop. He was 18, in his last year at Marlborough, and about to take his entrance exam for Oxford. The skin of his face was quite shockingly smooth and beautiful. He liked to let his dark hair flop over his forehead. When I danced with him, I felt as if I was being wafted to eternity. After I met Simon Hurst, my sewing machine became my best friend for a while. I spent hours and hours and hours hunched over it, caressingly turning the handle and feeding into its obedient little bouncing needle pieces of shining grey taffeta. Together, the machine and I were making a beautiful dress. It came from a pattern by Vogue. It had a tight, sleeveless bodice, a bell-shaped skirt, and a pert bow at its slender waist. When I wasn't making the dress, I was dreaming about how I would look when I put it on. The narcissism of a person in love knows no bounds. I began to see myself as I wanted Simon to see me, which is to say, entirely and absolutely beautiful. When I looked in the mirror, even in the stained old looking glasses placed here and there in our school dormitories, I strained to recognize the lineaments of Cleopatra or Helen of Troy. The first time I wore the dress was at a Christmas party given by my friend Rowena Fletcher Blake. When I arrived at Rowena's house, she said, "Is that the thing you were making at school, Marianne?" She looked at me pityingly, and this pitying look and the word thing made my heart lurch. I wanted to reply that my dress was perfection, and that the pink and white fruit sundae of a gown which Rowena was wearing belonged on a fairground stall on Brighton Pier.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?